Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? So it all comes down to this: Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas on Sunday. The NFC champion San Francisco 49ers taking on the defending world champions and defending AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs. It all goes down on Sunday on CBS. I think 5 o'clock or so is when the game is kicking off. I don't know and or care who the halftime show is because it's never worth watching. Anyway, that's for somebody like me that always likes watching the Super Bowl commercials, the halftime's when I go to the bathroom or when I get another round of food or something like that, because I could care less about the halftime show, especially now that Kiss is retired and the fact that they will never do the halftime show at the Super Bowl is no longer a possibility. So now I really don't care. But we got lots to talk about for this game. Gonna bring back the all-out blitz one last time. We're going to have kind of a breakdown of how the 49ers and the Chiefs got here. And we'll talk about the tail of the tape of these two teams and who I think will be hoisting the Lombardi when the clock strikes zero in the fourth quarter of Sunday's game. So we got lots to get to. Let's go ahead and get started. This is the Super Bowl 58 preview episode of the fourth phase. So let's get to it. Welcome to the fourth phase, presented by Bears Talk Underground and Sports Drink Media. And now, your host, Larry D. Super Sunday is finally here. The long road that began back in the preseason in August ends this Sunday in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders, where the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers will do battle to determine who will be hoisting the trophy and laying claim to the world champion moniker for the remainder of this offseason. So the Chiefs, the defending world champions, are looking to defend their crown to be the first team to do so in 20 years. The last back-to-back champs we had were the second and third championship for Brady and the Patriots in 2003 and 2004, and now the Chiefs and Mahomes looking to do that in 2022 and 2023 are the actual seasons that they're doing that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, man, because in the season, I picked the 49ers to go to the Super Bowl. I have to remind myself as to who I thought was going to win that game. I think I gave it to the Bengals, actually. That's who I thought was going to find their way back to the Super Bowl. And had Joe Burrow stayed healthy, I wonder how that would have all worked out. I'm sure they would have had a lot more to say in the AFC North and in the AFC playoff picture instead of not making it at all without Burrow. I mean, Jake Browning did as well as he could for as long as he could, but eventually the dam did break and they weren't able to make it to the postseason this year. Did finish with a winning record, though, as did every team in that division. But, you know, I I'm still teetering back and forth, but the team that I trust a little bit more, as you guys know, as a Bears fan, it's all about whether or not you can trust. Do I think the Bears can do this? Yes. Will they do this? Ooh, I don't know. And that's, you know, can the 49ers win this game? Yes, absolutely. But I feel like whoever, like if it comes down to who has to be more perfect in order to win the game, the 49ers are the ones, because we've also seen them throughout the year, as you hear me talk about here in my, I'm doing two all-out blitzes for this, one for the Chiefs and basically detailing how they got to the Super Bowl, doing the same thing for the 49ers as well. The 49ers lost football games when they started, when they made mistakes, because Brock Purdy became a turnover machine and, you know, CMC was fumbling the football and things like that. It was one of those things, and their defense is a lot more vulnerable than the Chiefs, which has been, you know, just unlike every other season before it, the defense has been the unit that's carried the Chiefs throughout the season. That's been the consistent unit that has allowed Mahomes and the offense to not be 1,000,000% electric week in and week out. Steve Spagnuolo has done a fantastic job with that defense. And there's a bunch of young guys on that defense too. So it's something that could probably be sustainable going year in, year out on the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. So we'll talk more about, you know, the decision I'm going to make at the end of the show. But first, let's get started with a little bit of news and notes. And there's just one big news and note that I want to talk about. And that, of course, was the NFL Honors Ceremony took place last night, where we found out Lamar did, in fact, win his second MVP. Kevin Stefanski, controversially or not, won Coach of the Year. I am 100% behind it. A lot of people wanted to go to D'Amico Ryans, and I could definitely see the argument to be made there. But D'Amico Ryan had his quarterback throughout the entire season. He did not have to play five guys, including pulling someone off the couch to come and lead his team to the playoffs, that being Joe Flacco, who won Comeback Player of the Year. Myles Garrett was Defensive Player of the Year. CMC was Offensive Player of the Year. And am I forgetting anyone? Cam Hayward won the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. But the main event of the NFL Honors is, of course, naming the next Pro Football Hall of Fame class. And the class of 2024 is one that is obviously very close to my heart, because we got three Bears going in, or at least two Bears and one Bear-adjacent guy who spent some time in a Bear uniform, not the majority of his career, but a good chunk of it. And that, of course, is Julius Peppers, who played, I think, 14, 15 years in the league. He played four in Chicago from 2010 through the 2013 season. But the two big ones, the two through-and-through Bears, Devin Hester getting in on the third ballot, wasn't, you know, didn't get in the last two seasons. And I was worried that if he didn't get in on the first ballot, that he would have a hell of a time, that could possibly be someone who'd have to wait until his senior eligibility to finally get voted in, because of all the players coming up behind him that he would have to contend with, other first ballot guys and things like that. But instead, just barely missing the cut the first year, being, you know, they take five guys every year. He was number six in 2021. He was number six in 2022. This time he makes the cut. Devin Hester is going to the Hall of Fame, the NFL's all-time leading returner for return scores. I think it was like 13-6-1, like 13 punts, six kickoffs, one kick field goal. And then, of course, the one that they don't count because it was in the postseason was kicking running the opening kickoff back against the Colts in Super Bowl 41, which has never happened before and has not happened since. There have been kickoff returns, but only Devin ran the opener back. That's the first and only time that's ever happened. Obviously, every Bear fan pounding the table, he deserved this 2 years ago when he was first eligible. He makes it in on the third try, and I'm sure that we'll get some footage of that at some point for someone who's wanted it so badly, especially after missing the cut the last 2 years, to finally get the call that told him he was in. Probably a hell of a moment that I would love to possibly be a fly on the wall to see at some point. And then the other Bear, of course, Steve Mongo McMichael. His dream is realized, and Mongo's had a hell of a fight on his hands the last few years with ALS, a.k.a. Lou Gehrig's disease, that has turned him, unfortunately, physically into a shell of his former self. And it's painful as someone who got to see almost all of his playing career. You know, and obviously I was a big wrestling fan in the 90s. I was a more of a WWF guy, not so much WCW, but watching Steve McMichael, there was always some sentimentality there. He was in the Horsemen and everything, had a wrestling career after his playing days were over. Was a Chicago radio personality for a while. I had the great fortune of meeting him while he was working for ESPN in Chicago. I met him at a Hooters, of all places. He did an appearance there, and I actually won a swag bucket from him for answering a trivia question. It was a Dos Equis bucket. I still have the bucket. I got him to sign it for me, which I thought the Dos Equis guy was going to crap his pants when I asked Mongo to sign it for me. He just thought it was the greatest thing he ever heard of. Demanded that we take a picture, and I have that picture. I still have that picture, and actually I posted it on, if you guys want to see it, it's on the Bearstock Underground Facebook group right now, so where I was congratulating Mongo for making it. And, you know, now I have mixed feelings about what happens with Mongo now, because he made it. He suffered all this time to finally, you know, to hear the words, Steve, you're a Hall of Famer. You are actual, you know, not just in your mind or in your heart, you are for real a Hall of Famer. And I said in the Facebook post that Mongo was one of a kind. He was a one-of-one guy, and he deserves his place among the immortals of pro football. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And now that he's there, do I want him to just let go now that he knows and have his suffering end? Or do I want him to stick around for a few more months so he can see his bust and, you know that that's there, to see his jacket? And, you know, I'm not saying I want Mongo to die. I'm saying that, you know, I hate to see him like this. I don't want him to suffer anymore. And I know that Mongo's probably feeling pretty good. The last thing he's worried about is how terrible he's feeling. But, you know, I don't want to be morbid or anything, but I just, I would shed happy tears if I heard tomorrow that Mongo peacefully passed away in his sleep last night, you know, kind of thing. It would, he got in, and he knew he got in, and, you know, he was able to feel what that feels like, and he deserves it 100%. And anyway, I'm thrilled. And with Peppers going in, with Hester going in, with McMichael going in, I mean, that's basically half the Hall of Fame class that's going in being Bears at one point or another during their career. I think it all but virtually guarantees that the Bears will play in the Hall of Fame game, because, you know, they've got three, and, you know, Dwight Freeney is going in as well. Andre Johnson had a cup of coffee with the Colts, so maybe it'll be the Colts. Patrick Willis was a San Francisco 49er, and the other senior entrant is Randy Gradishar from the Denver Broncos. So if you're going on based on who got in, I think we're looking at the Bears-Colts, maybe. Or maybe because of Pepper's status, I think maybe Bears-Panthers or something. I don't know. But I definitely think the Bears are going to be one of the two teams. I mean, they have multiple guys going in, so why not have him play in the Hall of Fame game, which means we get the Bears get to see the Bears play a week sooner in the preseason. So get an extra game out of them this year. So anyway, that's all I had for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sorry about the morbidity of you know, Steve McMichael and his situation. Is like, I want to make it clear, I'm not interested in living in a world without Mongo, but if it's his suffering versus keeping him here, I'd prefer to let him go. So that's all I'm saying. That's the reverence. I hate to see this guy that was such a hero for me when I was a kid suffer like that. You know, I really, really hate seeing those pictures of him online. I don't. I hate it. So. But he got his ultimate goal. He is a true blue Hall of Famer now, which he deserved for far longer than it took for him to actually get it. So anyway, that's all I got, guys. Sorry about all that. But let's go ahead and dive in. Now let's go ahead and we'll start with our AFC champ, Kansas City Chiefs, and how did we get here from the 2023 season? The 2023 Kansas City Chiefs, the champs, kick off the season by raising their Super Bowl 57 banner, then raised eyebrows by bungling their way to an opening night loss to Detroit to start their campaign 0-1. However, the champs rebounded by winning their next six games over the Jags, Bears, Jets, Vikings, Broncos, and Chargers. But it was the defense that was the consistent unit, as the offense wasn't blowing people away like it always had. The next 6 weeks saw the champs go 2-4, losing games to Denver, Philly, Green Bay, and Buffalo, and Mahomes and the offense only averaging 19 points a game, and the Chiefs lost their stranglehold on the top seed in the AFC. But aside from a Christmas Day loss to the Raiders, the Chiefs finished the year 3-1, clinched the AFC West for the seventh straight season, and headed back to the postseason. The wild card round brought frigid temperatures and the high-flying Dolphins to town, but the defense that carried the team all year would shut down Tua and company and cruise to a wild card win over the Miami Dolphins 26-7. The divisional round had the Chiefs on the road for the first time in the Mahomes era against the resurgent Buffalo Bills. It was a back-and-forth affair that could have gone to OT, but Bills kicker Tyler Bass's late field goal attempt was wide right, crushing the will of every Bills fan and sending the Chiefs back to the AFC Championship game for the sixth year in a row. The championship round found the Chiefs in Baltimore facing the Ravens, who had the NFL's best record and home field advantage. Mahomes and Travis Kelce set the tone early, and the defense buckled down late as the Ravens had no answers for the Chiefs' defense, and Kansas City surprises everyone but themselves by upsetting the heavily favored Ravens and returning to the Super Bowl to defend their crown 17-10. So there you have it. A very quick and abbreviated version of how the Kansas City Chiefs made their way to another Super Bowl appearance. And, you know, with a 11-6 record, which by Kansas City standards is not a great season, but they did win another AFC West title. They were the 3 seed, which meant they were going on the road for the first time in the playoffs under Pat Mahomes. And thinking that they would have to go to Buffalo to do it, everybody thought they were done. It's like, okay, well, they got their win over Tua and the Dolphins in the frigid cold. Miami never really stood a chance, A, because they were on the road, B, they were playing an actual good team, and C, the weather was just not going to be conducive to a team from Florida. And sure enough, that game was a lopsided affair, 26-7. Miami never really got off the bus in that one. So, but it's like now they're going to the divisional round. The Bills were 6-6. They won 5 straight to win the division, to clinch the 2 seed. So they're hosting Mahomes. They don't have to go into Arrowhead to get Pat. They don't have to go in to one of the most treacherous places to play a football game. They'll be at home in Buffalo with their people. And, you know, it was a knockdown, drag-out fight between the two teams. But in the end, Mahomes and company were the ones that got it done, and fate was on their side when Tyler Bass missed that field goal. You know, like I said, crushing the soul of everyone in Buffalo, because it was another wide right kick that ended their season. And then the Chiefs, once again, they go on the road to Baltimore to play this team that has literally laid waste to everything that was in front of them. And not only were the Ravens good all year long, not only did they have the league's best record, but anytime anybody of substance was put in front of them, they ran them over. I mean, just absolutely train wreck ran these teams over. They did it to the 49ers. They did it to the Dolphins, 58-19 or something crazy like that. They did it to the Lions, who were, you know, one step away from the Super Bowl this year. They did it to the Seahawks for that cup of coffee when they were in first place in the NFC West. So the Chiefs weren't going to be any different. And it was at home. It was in Baltimore. So it just looked like, okay, so this is where the Chiefs die. This is where they get laid to rest, and then we can move on, and Lamar will go and get his first Super Bowl and what have you. Nope. right out the gates, Mahomes and Kelce, you know, lead a charge 75 yards right down the field, score a touchdown on the opening drive, and that pretty much set the tone. The defense did the rest and, you know, held the Ravens to only 10 points in their own building. You know, hosting the AFC Championship game for the first time, you know, Lamar and company gave their fan base fits by, you know, ignoring what got them there. This run heavy team that, you know, not only used Lamar's legs but Justice Hill and Gus Edwards and everything, did not run the football. They ran the ball six times in the game. You know, aside from Lamar scrambling, they ran the ball six times on purpose, which is bananas for a game that, as you know, 17-10 was a one or two score game for the majority of the football. It was 17-7 at halftime. 17-7. So the Chiefs got shut out and only gave up 3 points to the Ravens in the second half. They forced that late turnover where Lamar, for whatever reason, throws it into triple coverage in the end zone. That was pretty much what iced the game there. And just like that, like I said, the Kansas City surprised everyone but themselves by getting back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, a lot of people think that they're going to go ahead and finish the story on Sunday and get their back-to-back crowns against the 49ers. So, speaking of which, let's go ahead and talk about how the NFC champs found their way to Super Bowl 58 by breaking it down for the 49ers. The 2023 San Francisco 49ers, the preseason favorites, started 2023 on the road against the Steelers, and their 30-7 beatdown was the first of five dominant victories to start off the year, the fifth being a nationally televised thrashing of the Dallas Cowboys 42-10 on Sunday Night Football. The next 3 weeks were like a bad hangover for the 49ers, where each loss was worse than the one before it. First was the missed field goal that led to the Niners' first loss to Cleveland. Second was a mistake-filled turnover-happy performance in a Monday night loss to the Vikings. And the third was just having the beatdown tables turned on them by Burrow and the Bengals, crushing the Niners in their own building 31-17. The bye week stopped the bleeding and reset the Niners as they returned to their dominant selves, winning their next six games with an average score of 34-19. With wins over Jacksonville, Tampa, Philly, Arizona, and two over the Seattle Seahawks. The final 3 weeks started with a possible Super Bowl showdown with the Ravens that saw the Niners dominated by Baltimore, and San Fran would finish with a 1-2 record, but had home field advantage and secured that in the NFC with another NFC West title. The divisional round had the Niners hosting the Packers, who were fresh off embarrassing the Cowboys in the wild card round. In a game dominated by the Packers, it was the plays that Green Bay didn't make that decided the game versus the plays that the Niners did that held Green Bay back and allowed the 49ers to head back to the NFC Championship game 24-21. Two quarters into the NFC Championship game, the Niners were down 24-7 and looked to have no chance in hell of getting back to the Super Bowl. But then the Lions succumbed to history that says they don't deserve nice things, as the Niners turned things around in the second half, winning it 27-7 and the NFC Championship game in the process 34-31. So there you go. That's the quick breakdown of the 49ers and how they made it here to Vegas in Super Bowl 58. And, you know, like I said, when I did the picks that stick back in August before the season started, I picked the 49ers to be to overcome Philadelphia to make it back to the NFC Championship game. They would be hosting it this time, which they did. And, you know, I thought they would do enough to make it back to the Super Bowl. But, man, after that loss to the Ravens, starting with that loss to the Ravens, you know, they lost to the Ravens. They won the following week at Washington, which, you know, big deal. Everybody beat Washington, including my Bears this year. And then their C squad lost to the Rams in the finale. So I guess you can't really say they lost that last game. They just never really showed up for it and everything. But that game against the Packers was troublesome. As you heard me say, it was more about the plays that Green Bay didn't make versus the plays the 49ers did. Because Purdy threw two interceptions, and one was at least at least one of those was a pick six that both the defenders for Green Bay dropped him. You know, the second one was a surefire pick six. If he comes down with it, he did not. And it was not like he had to jump and make some kind of acrobatic play or anything like that. No, it hit him right between the numbers, and he just flat out dropped the ball, showing everyone why he plays defense and not offense. But and then late in the game, the Packers had a chance to kick a field goal that would have made it, I think, 24-17 at the time. And instead, they missed the field goal, so it's still 21-17. Green Bay still winning. And instead, the 49ers went down the field after the missed field goal to score what would be the game-winning touchdown. And then the cherry on top for Green Bay was Jordan Love having his Brett Favre moment, where trying to do too much, scrambling off to his right, decided to throw across his body and across the field, and got picked off to end the game. So, you know, I look back at that. The Packers basically were the better team on the field that night. But again, it was the plays they didn't make versus the plays that the 49ers did. When you're in a situation like the Packers were in that game against San Francisco, when a team that has been that good throughout the season, that has been as dominant as they were for the majority of the year, if they make a mistake, you can't let them get away with it. And the Packers let the 49ers get away with more than one mistake, at least three, you know, in my estimation, in that game. And that's why the 49ers were able to win, because they were already so much better than Green Bay. But Green Bay had the hot hand. They were playing much better football, and they played better football that night. But in the end, the 49ers had the superior squad, so it wasn't going to take as much for them to beat Green Bay as it would have been, you know, any other team for that matter. And like, that's why I keep saying that it was about the game, the plays that Green Bay didn't make, more so than the ones the 49ers did, that decided the outcome of that one. And then what can you say about the NFC Championship game? You know, you guys know I wanted the Lions to win that game, you know, living vicariously through them, thinking that, hey, you know, the Bears are kind of following their steps, and you know, want to see if you know, number one, as a football fan, I've always rooted for the underdog and everything. Detroit is one of those four teams that's never made a Super Bowl before. It's Detroit, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Houston. And the funny thing is, three of those teams, including the Browns, are expansion teams, because the actual Cleveland Browns are in Baltimore. And, you know, the Cleveland Browns still have the history, you know, as far as the records and the games played all belong to Cleveland. But that's an expansion team that started from scratch in 1999. Jacksonville has made it to a few AFC championship games, but never to a Super Bowl when they came into the league in 95. And, of course, the Texans in 2002, I don't even think they've made it to an AFC title game yet. So they've made the playoffs a few times, including this year, of course, but I don't think they've made it to a conference championship game yet. So, obviously, they're not making it to the Super Bowl. The Lions have been around a lot longer than all of those teams. I think if you add them up together, combined, they've been around longer than those three teams, and they haven't made it to a Super Bowl yet. So, in fact, this is, I think, the only second NFC championship game they've made in my lifetime. So unless there was one, you know, and I don't think there was. I know they made the playoffs in 82 during that strike season, but they didn't make an NFC championship game. That was the Redskins and the Cowboys that year. So, but anyway, so, you know, I was rooting for the Lions, wanted to see them win, and up and down the field doing whatever the hell they wanted against this 49er team, doing it to them in San Francisco at the same time, 24-7 at the half. And then it all went sideways on that first fourth down call that Campbell went for. And let me be clear, because I'm pretty sure that I went over this a few times in the review episodes, I agreed 100% with him going for it the first time. When he was going for it, they were, you know, if they get the first down and they score, now they're up 31-10. They've got this thing by the balls, and it's, you know, the 49ers have to score three touchdowns just to break even, let alone, you know, try to get the lead on them. So they've got to score four touchdowns, or they've got to score four times, three touchdowns and whatever, just to take the lead. Again, when there was no sign of the 49er defense slowing the Lions down. You know, it was a it wasn't a bad play call. It wasn't anything outlandish. They throw the ball to Reynolds, and he cannot come down with it. He just flat out drops the ball. And then it just kind of became a comedy of errors, like a third and 10. Same receiver, wide open, hits him right in the breadbasket with the ball, doesn't come down with it. They got a punt. After the 49ers score a touchdown, Goff and Gibbs flubbed the exchange, recovered by the 49ers in the backfield. The next thing you know, it goes from 24-10 to 24-24, and it's like, oh, boy, here we go. And the 49ers were off and running, and they never looked back. Like I said, they won the second half 27-7. And that seven for the Lions came late in the fourth quarter when it was already 34-24 at that point. You know, they scored that last touchdown to make it look like it was a lot closer than it was. And, you know, but in the end, the 49ers were able to hold on. So this is like a team that has had trouble out of the gates because they fell behind both the Packers and the Lions, significantly so to the Lions, but were able to persevere and come back, which is something that's been a problem for them this year, was that any time that they were playing from behind, you pretty much chalk it up that it's over with. And I think that's something that will be a big problem for them on Sunday if they happen to do that again. If they let the Chiefs get up 10-0, 14-0 early on, that defense of Kansas City's is good enough that they will basically just, you know, sit there and destroy the 49ers, you know, especially if they have to push the ball down the field or have to throw more and not use the run as much with McCaffrey and company running the football on Sunday. So it's something that you really got to watch out for. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an issue for the 49ers. As I alluded to earlier, who do I think is who do I think is going to win? And I guess we'll just go ahead and talk about it now. This doesn't have to be a 10-hour show or anything like that. I'm going with the Chiefs. Who do I think is the better team? I think it's the 49ers. I think they are actually on paper more talented than the Chiefs right now. But it's that Chiefs defense, man, that's really kind of been doing it for me. That defense shut down the Dolphins in the wild card round, stepped up when they needed to against the Bills in the divisional round, and really, absolutely put a cork in the genie bottle that was the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC championship game. And for a team that not many people outside of Kansas City had much faith in going into the playoffs, like, oh yeah, they're here again. They play in the NFC, in the AFC West, one of the weaker divisions in football. Of course, they won the division again. Of course, they'll probably win that wild card round in Arrowhead. But once they go on the road, they're done for. And, you know, of all places they had to go to Buffalo. And, you know, this team that has been their regular season nemesis that's beaten them, I think, 3 years in a row in Kansas City, will actually be hosting them in the playoffs this time. So it's got to go differently, right? Nope. Travis Kelce, who we hadn't seen score a touchdown since week 11, scores two against the Bills in that ball game. Scores another one, the first one of the game against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. 11 targets for 11 catches and over 110 yards in that touchdown in the AFC Championship game. I mean, guy's just making his Hall of Fame argument in this postseason alone. And then Mahomes, he's not trying to do it all by himself. He knows that defense has got his back. He knows he has Pacheco and Edwards-Helaire to run the football, and he's got Travis Kelce. He doesn't need Tyreek Hill and things like that. Or they could definitely use him for sure, but they know they don't need that in order to win like they have in the past because, you know, their defense wasn't always up to snuff. Well, the defense has been better than advertised all year long, and if they can finish the run on Sunday, that defense will definitely enter itself into the top defenses of all time discussion for their consistency, their dominance, and on all the rest of it, if they can pull this off on Sunday. And of the scenarios on Sunday, I think that's the most likely one. And it's not that I don't think Brock Purdy will play well. I just think it's a lot more likely that Purdy will make the mistake than Mahomes does on Sunday, period. You know, if it comes down to the tail of the tape and the battle between these two teams, obviously the Chiefs have the advantage at quarterback. Running back, that is the 49ers. 100% CMC all by himself trumps anything that the Chiefs have. Tight ends, that's a wash. You know, you give the edge to Kelce and the Chiefs, but you got two all-pro tight ends there. So, you know, it's really, really close. But it's a nice, slight nod to the Chiefs on that one. Offensive lines, I think I'd go with the Chiefs on that one. Defensive line, that's the 49ers all day. Bosa, Chase Young, Javon Hargrave, and more for the defensive line. Linebackers, I think that's the 49ers as well. Secondary, I got to go with the Chiefs for the way that they've been playing. They don't have a lot of names on that side of the ball, but I like the Chiefs secondary. Special teams, got to give the nod to the Chiefs on that one. Butker is better and more consistent than Moody, who's a rookie, but nonetheless, that's what they have to go again. And the intangibles would have to be things like experience and been here, done that, have been on the big stage and succeeded on the big stage, and that's the Chiefs all day long. So when it comes right down to it, I got to go with the Chiefs to repeat. And, you know, for somebody who likes a little variety in his Super Bowls and things like that, I will sit here pounding the table saying that, you know, it's boring watching the same team win over and over again. But as a football fan, you have to appreciate what the Chiefs have done and what they're on the verge of doing. And it would be a hell of a story if the 49ers could pull it off. I would love to see it. I don't really know who I'm rooting for in this one. It doesn't really, I don't really have a dog in this fight. My last dog, unfortunately, died in the NFC Championship game when the Lions couldn't hang on to their lead. So I'm just going into this one as a football fan, and I want to see a great game. And hopefully has a better ending than last year's game did. Because what a great game the Chiefs and the Eagles played last year, only to have it ruined by that ticky-tack penalty and with Andy Reid playing not to lose in the final minute, kneeling on the ball and eating up clock to kick the field goal with the last second. I can't even tell you how much I hated that. How much I hated, you know, one of the ballsiest coaches in the league, one of the more aggressive guys out there, to just basically curl up in the field position for the final 2 minutes and you know, play not to lose to set up the field goal. So I can't, and it just ruined the entire game for me. So maybe that's just me. But, you know, it's like that the final couple of minutes of that game with the penalty and then, you know, Reed and company just sitting on the ball to eat up clock and things like that really, really rubbed me the wrong way, and it ruined what I thought was one of the better Super Bowls ever before that happened. So hopefully, start to finish, this will be a competitive game that has a great ending, maybe an exciting ending or what have you, but that's what I'm looking forward to on Sunday. That and the chicken wings we're going to be cooking, so looking forward to that as well. And I'm looking forward to the commercials to see what trailers. I heard the Deadpool 3 trailer was supposed to be dropping for the Super Bowl, or maybe like a teaser for the trailer to be online later and whatnot. So I'm interested to see that because I'm not interested whatsoever in the Super Bowl halftime show. It's not, I could care less. I really like, oh, who's playing this? Who's doing the Super Bowl? Oh, because when I think football, I think Usher. No, sorry. Get it out of here. So yeah. And then, like I said earlier, if I, you know, now that Kiss is retired and they're not touring anymore, the possibility of them playing the Super Bowl so I could die happy, no longer a possibility. I mean, they played the opening. They did the kickoff in Super Bowl 33 between the Falcons and the Broncos. They played before the game, but they've never played at halftime. So they've been to the Super Bowl, and yeah. They signed a guitar that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is one of the reasons why I would like to go there, not to mention to see all the now 40 busts that belong to Chicago Bears in Canton. But, yeah, we'll make it out there at some point. But there you have it, guys. That's all I got for this Super Bowl preview. little bit of a shorter episode. But come back on Monday when we'll break it all down. How did it go down? Did the Chiefs repeat, or are the 49ers the new kings of the mountain? Was it a good football game? Did it have a great ending? How awesome was the Deadpool trailer? And so much more. Come back on Monday for that. And until then, my name is Larry D. This has been The Fourth Phase, and we will see you next time.